Good morning. We're looking this morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. This chapter is the greatest discourse on faith that was ever written. Beginning reading with the first word in the first verse of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made by what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not have been found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Recently, I received a telephone call from a preacher in the denominational world. He told me that he had been to a couple of different places where I was at and had heard me preach. He also said that he had been online at the website of the church here and had heard me preach some lessons. This gentleman was writing a thesis for his master's degree, and he said that he would like to interview me because he needed to interview somebody from the Church of Christ. So this gentleman and I got together, and in the course of the conversation, he asked me. That's not what he asked me. So I've sounded like that often. He asked me, he said, why is it that the Church of Christ does not believe in salvation by grace through faith? And I said to him, now I don't know who you have talked to before, but let me assure you that I believe with all of my heart that salvation is by grace through faith. And I assure you that my brethren believe exactly the same thing. He then says to me, he says, but don't you believe that it's necessary for you to be baptized to receive salvation? I said, yes, I believe that. He says, well, how could you say on one hand that salvation is by grace, and then say on the other hand, but you have to be baptized in order to receive salvation? And my answer to him was, that's what I understand the Bible teaches. When Jesus sent the disciples out into the world to reach the world with the gospel, He said to them in the Great Commission in Mark 16 and in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." I looked at him and said, "Now, would you have me to say that Jesus said, 'He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved'?" I said, "Now, can I show you another verse?" He says, "Absolutely." He says, that's what we're here for. So I showed him Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. It is the beginning of the New Testament church. It is the first sermon ever preached after the death, burial, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. When those people who had gathered, Jewish people from all over the world, heard the sermon and believed it, they cried out, "What shall we do?" Now, if you were ever going to clearly explain to somebody what it is they needed to do after they've heard the gospel and believed it, here's the time to do it. So Peter said to them in verse 38 of Acts 2, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." I said, "Now, would you have me to believe that what Peter said is that whoever repents and is not baptized shall receive the forgiveness of sin?" So this gentleman and I had a very good conversation. Nobody was trying to win an argument. So when we finished, he looked at me and this is what he said. He said, "I want you to know that you have given me reason to think and to reconsider some things that I have thought in the past." Now, when I got back in my car and when I drove away, I was reminded again of how evident it is that there are so many people in the religious world who do not understand the nature of faith. That's right. Now, brethren, listen to me. If you do not understand faith, that is a very serious problem. Because the sixth verse of Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now wait a minute. You might be a good citizen, but if you do not possess biblical faith, you cannot please God. You might be a good, moral, honest, and upright person, but if you do not possess biblical faith, you cannot please God. You may love your wife or love your husband and love your children, and you may do a lot of great things in the community, but if you do not possess biblical faith, then you cannot be pleasing to God. Now let me take just a moment and address this Ephesians 2:8 passage. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, but it is a gift of God." Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, salvation is a gift from God. There is nothing that any of us can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it, and we can't do enough good works to merit it. It is a gift. And the only thing that we can do with that gift of salvation is that we can accept it. And the way we accept it is through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now this is critical. Faith is the vehicle by which everything God has travels to us. Faith is the conduit by which all of the blessings of God run to us. So what does all of this mean? What all of this means is that one of the most important questions that we can ever ask ourselves is the question we're going to consider today, and that question is this: what is faith? What is it? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you cannot please God without it, but the question is, what is it? Brethren, in its most basic concept, faith is four things. In its most basic concept, faith is four things. Number one, faith is believing what God has done. What God has done. Now again, in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice verse 3. The writer says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So what does that mean? Here's what that means. By faith, I believe that God made the world out of nothing. By faith, I believe that God made the world out of nothing. Now, I do not have a video of that. I have no video to show you of God creating the world out of nothing. I don't have that. I have no eyewitness that I can bring in here who will stand here and say, now look, I was there and I saw it and this is how God did it. I have no eyewitness. By the way, the atheist who believes that by some unknown process the world came into existence, he doesn't have a video either of it. He has no video to show either. And the atheist who believes that life came into existence through some unknown process, he doesn't have a witness that he can pull forth either and explain it to us. He doesn't either. So here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that he and I, the atheist and me, we both start at the same beginning place. Both of us do. The beginning place is that he and I both exist. We are here. We are on this planet. We are alive. That is our beginning place. So he and I start at exactly the same place. The only thing now we have to figure out is that he and I are trying to figure out by what process we got here. You understand what I'm telling you? That's what we're trying to figure out. We are here, so now, okay, how did we get here? Now, here's what I can tell you. I can tell you two things. Number one, no material object can make itself. Thus, something else had to make it. This is a pew. I like this pew. You like that pew? I like it. This pew is a material object. This pew did not make itself. Well, what does that mean? That means that something else made it. No material object can make itself. Now, here's the second thing I can tell you. Now, this is just what I believe. I believe that the world in which we live shows great design in it. I believe the world exhibits incredible design. Now, I believe that the design it exhibits is evidence of the existence of a designer somewhere. Now, for instance, two things. For instance, the design in the universe and the design in science. The universe and science. The design in those two things are beyond mind-boggling. And what I believe that that mind-boggling level of design is proof that there is not only a designer, but that it's proof of the existence of an incredible designer who somewhere. If it isn't, then this made itself. I believe that designer to be God. And I believe that God has chosen to speak and to address man in various forms throughout man's history. And that today, God speaks to man and addresses man through His Word. And that in that Word, God communicates to man what His will for man is. And the most basic concept of faith is that by faith, I believe what God has done in the past. Look, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that because of man's sinfulness, that God sent a flood upon the earth. I believe that God caused the walls of Jericho to crumble and fall. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe that He lived a sinless life. I believe that He was punished, that He was crucified, that He was buried in the tomb of a man named Joseph who lived from the city of Arimathea. I believe He was buried, and I believe that 3 days later, the crucified Jesus became the resurrected Christ. I believe. Listen, without faith, you cannot believe God. But what is faith? Faith is believing what God has already done. But that is not where faith ends. Looking back at the past and seeing what God has done and believing that God set it forth, that's not where faith ends. That is where faith starts. What is faith? Faith is believing what God has done. Number two. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But what is faith? What is it? Faith is believing what God has already done. Number two, faith is believing that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. Now again, look at verse 6, Hebrews 11. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who cometh unto Him, now hear this, must believe that He exists and that He will reward those who diligently or earnestly seek Him. I believe by faith. By faith, I believe that God is someday going to reward those who earnestly have sought Him in their lives. In John the 14th chapter and in verse 3, Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You say, now, do you understand the process of all of that? And do you understand how all of that heaven stuff is going to work? No, sir, and no, ma'am. Not at all. Not at all. But what I do believe is that the evidence shows that Jesus was who He claimed to be, and so I accept what He said by faith. Well, what about those who don't earnestly seek God in their lives? What about those people? Jesus said in Matthew, the 25th chapter, as He opens up the entire judgment scene, in verse 41, Jesus said to those who didn't seek God, He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now, do I understand about hell and how all of that's going to work? No, sir, and no, ma'am. I do not. But what I do believe is that the evidence shows that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and so I accept what He says by faith. Now, are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, we go now, because we're going to turn a little bit right here. And when we turn, I don't want some of you to just keep going down the same road. So let's all turn together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without biblical faith. But what is it? Faith is believing what God has already done. Secondly, faith is believing that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. Right? Now watch me. Here's the term. Here's the term. Everything that I have said so far, for many people, it's relatively easy to believe. I mean, it's relatively easy for us here today
to look way, way back in the past and say, yeah, yeah, I believe that God said all that. I believe that. And it's easy for us to sit here today and look out way into the future, or what we hope way into the future, and say, well, you know what? Yeah, yeah, I believe that someday God is going to bring all of this up and God is going to take care of all of that. Yeah, yeah, I believe that. But brethren, neither one of those two things is the real test of faith. The real test of faith is this. Do you believe God while you're having to deal with the here and now?
That's right. That's right.
You understand?
That's right.
You can't please God without it. Well, what is faith? What is it? It's believing what God has already done. It's believing that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. But then number three, what is faith? Faith is trusting in God even when God doesn't meet our expectations. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. Promise not to tell nobody. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, you'll tweet it before you leave here. Wish I knew what that meant, but anyway. Tweet this. You don't really have to know what you're doing. You just have to sound like you know what you're doing. You still with me? Okay. It is inevitable that you're going to have a need in your life that God isn't going to meet. You got that? It is inevitable that your life at some point is going to crash. And God's not going to meet you with that. If it's nothing else other than the fact that somebody you love is going to get sick and you're going to pray and pray that they get well, but they're not, they don't get well. So what I'm saying to you is that faith is believing that every unmet need in your life is something that God can work for your good. And believe me, that is where faith really lives. His name was Job. Job was the richest man in all the East. Job had all kind of cattle and all kind of sheep. Job had 7 boys and 3 girls. And I mean, everything was going great. And in verse 8 of Job 1, God said of Job, he is an upright man and he turns away from evil. And let me tell you something. When God brags on you, you got it going on. And then Satan walks into Job's life. Satan said, let me show you something with Job. And he who was the richest man in the East became the poorest man. He who was the healthiest became the sickliest. He who had everything now has nothing. And what was Job's response to this? In Job 13 and in verse 15, Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. I beg you to understand this. There are going to be times when you're going to look around in your life and what's going on. Is it going to appear or seem logical to you? You're going to look at all the drama in your life, and you're going to say, why is this happening? And I don't understand why this is happening, and what is going on here? And I just don't get it. And what I'm telling you is that what faith is believing in God, even when at that moment you don't understand what God's doing. Real faith says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I can't please God without faith, but I got to understand, what is faith? Faith is believing what God has done. Faith is believing that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Faith is trusting in God even when God doesn't meet my expectations of how things ought to be happening. And number four, what is faith? Faith is responding to God in obedience. It's responding to God in obedience. Maybe, let me sit on this pew for a minute, I like. Maybe the best way for us to understand faith is to eliminate some things that people believe faith is that it isn't. Sometimes the way to get a handle on what something really is you first have to understand what it ain't. I'm not teaching English, I'm preaching a sermon, bless God. So all you English teachers, in Christian love. But you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the best way to understand what something is to get it in your mind what it's not. So let me suggest to you that what faith is not is that faith is not gullibility. Faith is not blind gullibility. A lot of Christian people believe that if you have faith, that what you do is you don't ever ask any questions, you don't ever make any investigation, you close your eyes and just hope that the best will work out. That's not faith. Right there in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, look what it says. He says, by faith we understand. So faith is something you can understand. When the Apostle John wrote his gospel on the life of Christ, when he finished it, he said in John 20, verse 30 and 31, he says, these things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He said, I've written these things so that you will believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believing on him, you can have eternal life. So it's something that not only can you understand it, John says, this is something you can believe. In Acts, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, concerning the Christians at Berea, it says that they searched the Scriptures daily and investigated what they were being told is true. Faith is something you can investigate. Faith is something you can understand. Faith is something that you can believe. faith is not blind gullibility. Faith is the opposite of gullibility. So faith isn't just being a simpleton who's gullible. Let me tell you something else faith is not. Faith is not mere emotionalism. Now, there is an element of emotion in faith, but faith isn't just emotion. Faith isn't a feeling in your chest. Faith isn't a thrill that runs up your leg. Paul said in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from an understanding of God's Word. Because there are a lot of folks hooping and hollering who don't know what they're hooping and hollering about. What I learned a long, long time ago, you can't tell by the honk of the horn how much gas in the tank. And a lot of religious people got good horns. Oh, yeah! Woo! But the tank is empty. We're getting ready to have church. There's an old lady broke down on the side of the road. I don't have time to tell this, but I'm telling it anyway. Old lady broke down on the side of the road. She grinding it. Car won't start. This guy comes by. He said, "Lady, what's wrong?" Old lady says, car won't start. So he raised the hood and, you know, looked at it. That always makes it work. He said, "Now try it. Won't start." He said, "Lady, scoot over." So she scoot over and he got in the driver's seat and he looked. He said, "Lady, this car won't run because there's no gas in it." She looked at him and said, "Well, will it hurt it to drive it home this way?" And a lot of Christians driving around, and the car won't run, and it won't run, because you ain't got no spiritual gas in it. Faith is not gullibility. Faith is not hooping and hollering and not having an understanding of what it's about. Let me also tell you that faith is not foolishness. "Well, look here, I'm going to drink this poison, and then God going to make me all right." That's not faith, that's foolishness. Yeah. Yeah. That's foolishness. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was tempted of the devil said, "I will take you up to the high place." And he says, "Just jump off and God will have the angels to catch you." And Jesus refused to do that. Why? You know why? Because Jesus refused to put his life in danger needlessly. Well, then what is faith? What is it? Faith is responding in obedience to God's command. The word faith means trust conjoined with obedience. Now stay with me because we're almost done. Faith is trust conjoined with obedience. So what does that mean? That means that if you trust God but do not obey God, that's not faith. And if you trust God but you really don't, if you obey God but you really don't trust God, that's not faith. Listen, faith and obedience are inseparable to each other. And Abel illustrates that in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, where it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain did." Abel was justified by faith because Abel did exactly what God told him to do. He offered the sacrifice God commanded him. But his brother Cain did not. Now, Now, why did Cain not offer the sacrifice that God wanted? Well, maybe Cain was of the mind frame that many religious people are in today who believe, well, just as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters to God. Well, as long as I'm honest, I can just do anything I want and it'll be pleasing to God. Listen, doing what you want to do in the name of religion rather than doing what God commanded, that's not faith. That's you getting out on your own. The expression, and I'm done, the expression by faith is found 18 times in Hebrews chapter 11. 18 times on one page, the Bible says by faith. And that expression, by faith, is associated with obedience. Listen, Abel was justified by faith because he did what God said to do. Noah was justified by faith. Moses was justified by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. They were all justified because they did what God wanted them to do. And if Hebrews chapter 11 teaches anything at all, what it teaches is that we must do what God says to do, and we must obey God, or it doesn't teach anything at all. So you see, the command of baptism. We're not baptized to earn our salvation. And we're not baptized because we deserve this. We are baptized in order to submit to the commandments of God. Because only in our submission do we appropriate the grace of God which saves us. This morning, do you possess biblical faith? You say, well, I believe God. That's not what I asked you. Do you possess biblical faith? Have you this morning been baptized for the remission of your sins? Baptism is an act of faith. It's one thing to say, I believe in God. It's another thing to say, I believe in Him enough to do what He's told me to do. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. Through turning from your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning as an erring child of God, you need to come back to Him. It's wonderful to come to a realization that you've done wrong, but now you have to act on that. Do you have the faith to do what God has asked you to do? If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation of Christ. May God help you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.